Hello and welcome to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, where we discuss what's happening in Minnesota with off-roading and the off-road world. I am your host, Mitch Mose. Hey gang, a few updates on the old Jeep. Today was a fun build day with my buddy Wade. We did some odds and ends stuff. I went and got some stickers cut up that you're going to see on the socials, but I went and got the name put on the side of the Jeep with the podcast, and I was able to find the same color as the silver in the Jeep inlay on the side, where it says Wrangler 4.0, so it looks pretty cool, and I got it in the same script as the Rubicons, so it looks like it came there from the factory. That didn't take too long. It was more me just obsessing about where to put it and make sure it was straight, and my buddy Wade came over and says, it'll be fine. Just start working on it. But we got it on there pretty straight, and I'm pretty happy with it. And I got an extra sticker. So I put one on the back of the Jeep, too. So we also spent a good while on the wiring setup for the onboard air and the lockers. I do already have a front locker to be installed, but we did the wiring first for the compressor. We got the compressor. I'm just waiting on one more part. Which is the mount that can to mount it up on the brake booster. And in really annoying fashion, I'm always the last person on the route for the FedEx, UPS, and whoever else delivers things. So I'm still waiting on one more piece to kind of finish that process out for the most part. So it was a pretty fun day. I had my buddy wait over my garage for a few hours today. We made two trips to the store because you can never get it all done in one. And I got it all set up. So thanks to my buddy Wade for helping me out. A few other updates too. The rankings came out, and this podcast is at 29 in the automotive rankings. So pretty cool. Thanks for sharing and listening to the podcast. My wife also thanks you because she loves it that I'm talking to somebody else about Jeeps instead of talking to her. And also, if you'd like to share it with somebody else, share it with a few friends. And also, if you can go online or even grab your iPhone and give us 5 stars and give us a few words about how much you like the podcast. If you're listening yet, that's cool. And grab your wife's, your husband's, or your friend's iPhone and rank it from there too. It always helps. It helps get more listeners if they can find us through those ranking systems. Thanks again. And here's the podcast. Another note of my buddies. You're going to listen to the 8274 podcast. That's his rebuild of his winch. And when I went over to his house to record, he was standing in front of his winch and clicking a button, and it wasn't working when we actually recorded the podcast that you're about to hear. The motor he had picked up was a faulty motor. And so he had to send that motor back to where we got it and get a different motor. So he was standing there frustrated, just clicking a button, trying to get it to work. But thankfully now it is fully working. He has it all winched up, the line on and everything. So you'll see some pictures of that on the socials also coming soon. And without waiting any longer, here is the 8274 podcast. Hey, welcome back, gang. I'm back in my buddy Wade's toy box. And this is a different type of episode. We're actually going to talk about the 8274 winch. The 8274 Warren winch has a long history. Basically, what the 8274 stands for is 8,000 pound winch. It's a two-way winch in and out. It's also a free spool. And not sure if it's the first of its kind, but this is a legendary one. And the 74 and 8274 stands for 1974. And what's cool about these really old school winches, they actually have a date stamp right on them. So this one we figured out was mid-March of 1978 is when it was produced. And what's another thing special about this one, it's a Jeep specific one. The sticker that came on there said Jeep right on there. So we knew this came on probably a Jeep CJ or maybe a Wagoneer originally. Wade picked it up. It was in disrepair, needed a little bit of work. I think it was running at the time, wasn't it?
He said it did work. Yeah. So I didn't bother testing it.
So, but Wade knew he was going to blow it all apart. But the 8274 is a, like I said, pretty cool winch. It's different than your Smitty built and the modern Warrens nowadays, or the Badland ones you might pick up from Harbor Freight. This one sits up real high, has a big drum on it compared to some of the ones you might see. And I think it's really cool. You know, Wade's like, why do you want to do a podcast on this? I'm just like, I think it's super cool. Now, Wade rides a 2003 Jeep Rubicon. But he did some things to it that make it look a little more like a CJ now. With some shaved fenders, some flat fenders. Moved some blinkers on, the front blinkers, to make it look a little more like a CJ. Just basically because he had some rusty fenders. And now he's continuing the old school look with an 8274. So, Wade, tell me about the process. Why did you want the 8274?
Well, a little bit of the history was kind of interesting to me.
Had a Smitty built 10,000 pound winch.
Kind of a modern winch, yeah.
Modern winch. Modern sold winch. It to my brother.
Yep, yep.
To help pay for
it. It was a good winch,
bill.
Actually. You know, people kind of give Smitty built a hard time, but I actually think it was a pretty good winch. And
yeah.
Especially before I had my belly kit, right? I used to high center on stuff a lot with that that factory skid shovel.
Yeah.
So I used that winch a lot, and it never once let me down. So I thought it was a pretty good winch. But
yeah, it's one I have, and our buddy Brent has one. Our brother-in-law Doug has one,
yeah,
too.
They're super
same
affordable.
Exact winch. Now, you know, Mike has your old one, but
super affordable. Yeah.
But why the 8274? Going back to that, you like the history? Anything else?
Yeah. So I really like the history, and then supposedly, right? The claim to fame of these winches is they have the fastest line speed of any factory winch out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of fun. It's like, okay, you winch off even quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that, it was the history. It was, the performance that I heard about. And then I just think they look pretty cool too. I like the motor overhead look. So it just looked to me like a really fun project. And the fourth thing is, there's tons of aftermarket upgrades for these winches.
Mm-hmm.
You can go really, really crazy with them if you want. And I like things that are kind of buildable and upgradable. So that was kind of another reason. So mm-hmm. I thought it'd be a fun project and would probably make my Jeep look pretty cool when it got done.
So again, we're going to post a lot of pictures on the Instagram page. But when this episode comes out, I'll have a bunch of them. Wade took a lot of pictures from the original when he picked it up to where it's going to be when it's done. But tell me what, in words, what did it look like when you got it?
It looked like it had been sitting in a barn since 1978.
41 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, the guy told me that it did work. It was freezing cold when I bought it from him. We were outside, so I just handed him the money. I threw it in the Jeep and left. So I didn't really get a chance to really ask him about it, where it came from, and all that kind of stuff. It did have the, as you mentioned in the beginning, it had the Jeep decal on it versus the Warn decal on it. So all I know is it did come as a factory option on a Jeep in 1978. It was, you know, covered in oil and grease, dirty, had a lot of surface rust on the drum steel. So it had a lot of surface rust on it, and the motor casing as well. Was pretty rusted, pretty gummy and nasty, and then the inside had some pretty gnarly sludge in there too. Really, really old, really, really old oil down in there. So that was fun to clean out.
This came with an original cable winch, right?
Yeah, they come with steel cable. So it's another positive aspect of these is the drums are really deep. So from the factory, they carry 150 foot of line, which mm-hmm. is another. You know, the kind of the two key performance things about these winches that people like is they carry a whole bunch more line, if that matters to you, and they have really, really fast line speed, so they get you unstuck quicker than the more modern winches do.
And some of you guys listening might be going, you know, you think about the modern winch, what it looks like, this looks totally different. So again, look at the pages on Facebook or what's the other thing? Instagram. And just take a peek at what
Instaface.
They look like. Instaface. They look totally different. And when I first saw these, I actually watched a rebuild online and watched them blow it apart. It was on the YouTube page. I think Wade told me he was picking one up. He goes, hey, can you pick this up for me? And I think I'm like, sure, I can go, what is it? You know, I had to go Google it and figure it out for myself. But you tore this down 100%. Tell me about that process.
Yep, which is kind of one of the reasons why I didn't really care too much about the history, because I knew I was going to completely disassemble it and upgrade it anyway. So it didn't matter to me if it worked or not. So stripped it completely down, pulled the motor off, pulled the solenoid pack off. and you know, separated the drum, and then there's a more of a traditional gearing setup in these. So the modern winches use like a planetary gear setup. That's how they get that real compact design. Mm-hmm. This uses more of a, you know, a traditional you know, main and secondary gear set.
So you can change the gearing on this too.
Yeah, you could. You could. Yeah, you'd have to, you know, manufacture one or buy one.
Yep.
They do make different gear sets for them, mm-hmm. if you really soup them up. And we can talk a little bit about that if you like. So strip the electronics off, separate the motor from the upper housing, and then you pull the upper housing off. And then there's a one of the things really cool about them is that the brake system is external. It's exposed. So you can actually watch it spin, and it's got this cool little mechanical paw that grabs this little set of teeth that run around the outer brake. And so they make these really cool clicking sounds when you're winching, if you're kind of into that stuff. So, you know, you rip the braking assembly apart, and then the drum comes out, the drum that, you know, would carry the cabling.
Mm-hmm.
All that comes out. I mean, they actually come apart pretty quick. There's not a lot to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes these old machines are a little simple, and yep. You know, that's why they work so well, because they're simple and meant just to work.
Yep.
And so you blew it all apart and into 100%, 1,000 pieces. And I came over here one time when it was 100% apart, and everything internally looked good, except for this oil probably needed to be.
Yep.
Obviously, you were going to do that anyhow, but
yep.
Oil needed to be changed.
Just had to clean the gunk out of the bottom of it, like it had some old oil sludge down on the bottom, or a little moisture had gotten in there, and which they do over time. A little bit of surface rust, patina on the gears, because if you're not using them, I mean, it only carries like 6 ounces of oil, very small amount of oil.
So it picks up from the bottom if you're using it.
So when you're winching, right, it kind of carries the oil to the top, but who knows the last time this thing was actually in use. So the upper gears had a little bit of surface rust on them, but nothing that would, you know, that would make you want to not use it.
So did you sandblast it, or did you just kind of rough it up a little bit with
I didn't. If I had a sandblaster, I would have, because mm-hmm. It would have just made the cleanup a lot easier. I went through, so that the housing is all aluminum, the external housing. And I went through it with a wire wheel and a little bit of some hand sanding as well, and then a Dremel with some little teeny tiny wire wheels to kind of get into some of the crevices. There's lots of webbing around the bottom of the... around the bottom of the winch housing to add for added strength.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for a lot of crevices. You got to get in and get the aluminum oxide off, right? So got to get it cleaned up, cause I wanted to paint it.
Mm-hmm.
So did that. And then I painted it. I used an epoxy material on the drum. And I just used regular old industrial grade aluminum paint for the aluminum housing, you know, primer paint, you know, put a few coats of each on.
What about the brake over here? I noticed that you have some little Deadpool look. Where's this red come from?
The Deadpool brake, yeah. So the brake assembly on the far outside, if for those of you that have never seen one of these before, it's kind of got these fins on it that, I don't know, that they probably are... or trying to make it look like they're cooling the brake down or something, but I doubt it actually does much more for effect. But anyway, on the little fins, so I painted the brake assembly black, and on the little fins, because my Jeep is red, on the top of each fin I did a little strip of red on the top of each fin, because when you're winching, that thing's spinning actually pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd look kind of cool, and you know, you can kind of see it work.
So where'd you get the red paint from?
That's classified. Now, I wanted to get it done right away. And if I had my druthers, I would have hopped in the Jeep and ran to the store and gotten some automotive paint, and like one of those little tiny touch-up kits would have been perfect. But instead, I just went in and got some good old nail polish for my wife, some red nail polish.
So does she know about that yet?
Oh, yeah. She knows what I did with it.
Okay. So, did you have to put some new bearings in the drum? Or any new bearings in anywhere?
The bearings were actually in really good shape, but just to play it safe, it's like you got it apart.
Yeah, might as well.
Don't go, you know, try to save $20.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and replaced the bearings. There really isn't much for bearings in these things. The drum actually sits on some Teflon sleeves.
On both sides, or just...
Yep. Oh, yep, on both sides. So there's no bearing in the lower end that the drum runs on. If you kind of think about it, the drum actually doesn't turn that fast, right? It's not like it's a transmission or something.
Yeah.
So they have these kind of, I don't know if it's Teflon or I actually think it's a different kind of nylon, but they're just bushings that hold the drum on. So the only thing that really has bearings in it is the electric motor. It's got bearings in it. And then the secondary gear that sits between the electric motor and the drum gear, there's a little needle drum, a needle bearing that sits in there. So I replaced those.
Mm-hmm.
Warn makes rebuild kits for these. They still, because Warn still makes them. So, I mean, you can buy a new one of these, but they're made exactly the same way with exactly the same parts. I mean, there's very few upgrades.
When we bought our Smitty Builds, I think we paid, ballpark $500-$600, $450 to
something like that. Yeah.
A new one of these goes for...
Well, they're about $2,000. And then if you get they're currently selling the 70th anniversary model. And the 70th anniversary model actually finally has a lot of the upgrades that I've already put on this. So this one's actually almost dead equivalent to a 7th anniversary model. And those are over $2,000.
I think they're 23.
Yeah, they're well north of $2,000.
And I know you got significantly less than this, so you can kind of share if you want how much you got into it.
So as I was saying, Warn makes a lot of rebuild kits for these. So, I mean, it's all a lot of Warn rebuild parts are in this. So there's the brake assembly. There's some friction discs in there and some needle bearings and some springs and keyways and things like that. And that comes all in a kit. It's like $75 for that. A couple of bearings here and there, like $20. And then there's a lower end seal kit. So those nylon bushings I was talking about, mm-hmm. there's a separate little kit where it comes with those O-rings and nylon bushings for the drum. And then the motor is really the biggest expense. So I could have, according to the guy at work, I could have reused the motor, but I wanted to upgrade the motor.
Oh, more power.
Yeah. So the stock motor's right around 2 horsepower. And I upgraded this to a 6 horsepower motor.
So 3 times the power.
3 times the horsepower. Yep. Which if you get the newest Warn 8274 70th anniversary edition, if you buy a brand new one of these, it finally does come with the 6 horsepower motor from the factory.
You can also, the upgrade you could go to is having 2 of those 6 horsepower motors. Yeah. Is that right?
There's sort of like upgrading the 8274 to just kind of be a better version of itself. And then there's like going Formula One on it, right? And going really crazy. So anyway, the motors, I got a really good deal on the motor. I got it through an open box through Amazon. But on a 6 horsepower electric motor like that, you can get Chinese ones for around $100. You can get Warn ones, so you can buy them directly from Warn, and they're closer to $300 for that motor. And then the final upgrade was the contactor setup.
Mm-hmm.
So the factory Warns came with a solenoid pack. It had 4 solenoids to kind of drive control of the motor in and out. And that's pretty antiquated design. So I went to an Albright contactor, which is just an electronic contactor. It's all sealed, waterproof, and it's a way smaller single piece package. So rather than 4 independent solenoids that sit on a little housing that holds them and there's wires going everywhere, here you have one single little black box that completely controls the electricity flow into the motor, so you get the functionality.
So you modernize it a great deal.
The contactor is the huge modernization.
It's like I'm getting rid of the old one. It's about half the size, and you're changing some bulk that just doesn't need to be there anymore.
Yep.
And so that's start to finish. Well, you also did some upgrades here you told me about last night when we were talking. Tell me about that.
Just little piddly things, just because we live in the beautiful salt belt. I swapped out a lot of the hardware for stainless steel hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's not that many nuts and bolts that hold this thing together, so doing those upgrades are pretty inexpensive. It's not like you're buying 100 bolts. And there's only 3 Allen bolts that hold the upper housing to the lower housing. There's 2 bolts that run the full length of the motor and hold the motor to the upper housing. There's a couple little teeny tiny Allen bolts that hold a little cover that just protects where you attach the cabling. Yep, the drum cable. And then you got the four bolts that mount it to the winch plate.
So that's the, you know, kind of the whole breakdown of the winch itself, the rebuild. You spray painted, not spray painted. You did some good paint job on a nice thick paint. Let's talk about the mounting process. You did some work yourself here. You had a winch plate originally that we used with the Smitty builds. Yeah. We did a little bit of a design on that. Tell us about that process.
So the 8274s don't mount. So most winches mount from the bottom. So you run bolts up through a winch plate and bolt them down to something. The 8274s, the bolts actually face forward in the same direction that your cable comes out of the front of the Jeep. So they take a completely different winch mounting plate than any other modern winch. So I had my winch mounting plate for my modern winch, which would not work for this. And then I ordered more of a kind of a custom built one from a company called Barnes, but I think Genrite makes one as well. The Barnes setup, it's nice, cut to shape, and it's factory bent edges all the way around, so it's a really rigid mounting. But it's kind of like a little metal box. It doesn't come with what you need to actually bolt it to the TJ. It's made for, you know, you to take that and then figure out how to bolt it to whatever you're bolting your 8274.
Some assembly required.
Some welding required. So I took the stock winch plate that I had that does bolt to my chassis and my Jeep, and cut off all the stuff I didn't need. And then this new metal housing that I got from Barnes, set that on there, centered it, all that fun stuff, and then full welded it to that winch plate. So now it's all one big, you know, nice one big piece of steel that bolts to the Jeep, and six bolts and comes right off.
And you pushed it back a little bit. He did a little bit upgrade already on the sway bar.
Oh yeah.
He put a was it Rock Jocks? It's the old Curry company. They call it.
Yeah, Curry Anti Rock. So I don't have a factory sway bar. I have a Curry Anti Rock sway bar. And it runs through the chassis. But anyway, the reason that matters for the winch is because I didn't have the sway bar. The factory sway bar runs along the top of the frame. Mm-hmm. So the winch plate would bump into that. So it kind of sets how far back you can push the winch. Yep. towards the grill. Well, since I'm not running a factory sway bar, I can actually push I was able to push the winch really back close to the grill. So it's tucked back really nice, so it's not sticking kind of way out on the front.
And you guys, you know, you're going to look at this on Instagram and Facebook, and you're going to be like, well, what about cooling? What's the cooling issue there you're going to have?
Yep.
Tell us about that. You said it was no worries, is that right?
Well, you know, we'll see, right? I just got it on. But I did a little bit of homework, and there's a handful of guys that I kind of have an online relationship with that, you know a lot about Jeeps, and we trade ideas. And so I talked to some of them, and some of them are running 8274s, and they said, you know, no way this will affect your cooling. Your TJ will be just fine.
Yeah.
But you look at it though, and it does make you think, huh, that actually puts a pretty big wind block right in front of your radiator. But, now the guys assured me, they're like, if you have overheating problems, it's something's wrong with your cooling system. It's not the winch won't cause it.
So no worries there. Yeah. So then back
and
to
the other thing that gave me some peace of mind there too is these were factory option.
Yeah.
From Jeep, right? So yeah. I'd like to at least think the Jeep engineers, I know, thought about that problem.
They might have
time
done some research, and I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
They probably went out to Moab or desert with one of these, right? And they're fine.
And I've never had cooling problems on my Jeep. It doesn't run hot, so I think I'll be fine.
We'll be fine. I think so too. Now back to the winch plate. He painted it black. I think you pour 15 the whole thing, so you get a nice deep coat of there on there.
Yeah, I like that kind of epoxy paint. It's really thick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you an automotive quality finish, but that's not really what it's designed to do. But for a winch plate, I thought it was really good. I've bought other things from Barnes, and everything they do comes unpainted. You got to paint yourself. The skid I used from them, I just used just an industrial spray paint, but it's underneath the Jeep, so you don't really see it. But I thought for this, I'm like, I'm going to try pour and just see what it looks like in terms of a factory finish or final finish. And it actually doesn't look that, I think it
Did you put a coat really on top of it or not? Or
is I didn't know. I did not top coat it. It's just, that's just two coats of Pour 15 on the winch plate. And then I did the drum is painted with Pour 15 as well, the winch drum.
Mm-hmm.
The winch housing isn't. I used, you know, traditional paint for the housing.
Yeah, yeah. So then now we're down to the Haas lead.
Haas right? Fairlead, yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. You got a little bling there.
Yeah, yeah. Anodized aluminum, baby. I found that on the web. I got a sweet price on it. It's pretty crazy when you kind of look around, man. Their prices on stuff like this are all over the map. I mean, yeah. You can easily spend over $100 on a Fairlead.
Yeah.
And you can also spend $20 on a Fairlead. And they're all made from, well...
A chunk of aluminum,
right? So it's, you know, it's milled out of a solid piece of billet, solid piece of 6061. So,
and you got
the anodized, kind of a nice deep red. So it looks pretty good.
It's kind of a new school meets old school. You got this little bling here with A274.
Yep.
Kind of back and forth on.
Yeah.
And then you're also...
And then a modern rope, too.
No, I was just going to go. I was going to talk about the rope a little bit. You got a red rope here.
Yep.
And that's going to go on here. So you got the synthetic line, if you want to get technical.
Yep. Got rid of the cable. I still have the cable. It was in really, really good shape. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I took that off because I just like synthetic line. It's just safer to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered up some red synthetic line for it, 100 foot. And the nice part, another nice part about the synthetic line is I ordered an upgraded version of a standard synthetic line. This synthetic line has another layer of nylon over the winch line just to help protect it from abrasion.
So hopefully keep the line a little longer.
Yeah, makes it last a little longer. You know, if you're rubbing it on a log or something while you're winching off, and you know how they just sort of start to abrade over time. So this has an abrasive sheathing over all of the winch line. Well, the problems I found is a lot of guys end up having to buy like 85 foot of it, or they have to buy less of it because it's thicker, because it has that extra coating over it, that extra mm-hmm. braiding over it. So when you fill up your drum, your drum gets too full for your compact winch.
Oh, so you're talking about more modern
winch. A modern winch, yeah.
So this one has huge drum on it.
This one, because it has that nice, huge, deep drum, I was able to get the the abraded coating, thicker line, and still put a 400 foot on there.
With plenty of room to spare, probably.
With that plenty of room, yeah. Yeah. It's nice line, too. It's got some reflective stuff mixed in with it. It's really nice. I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, so then you're also going to do a winch cover on this when you have a chance, and you have he already told me a little bit about it, but he's going to have to do some some different changes to tweaks to that to get the fit, because where his lines come out aren't in the stock line anymore. God, what else do we have to add on this thing?
Well, we could talk. We could share a little bit of the super upgrade stuff.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah. So. Some of you guys that are thinking, well, I got a Smitty build, I got a Warren, I got a modern winch, and you think, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, I got a 10,000, and you might brag about your 12,500. But what's the one red winch and what's it, Piggly Wiggly?
Giggle pin. And there's a couple more, but I think those guys are kind of the two top guys.
So if you don't know, there's a
Double Winch is the one, doublewinch.com.
If you look online, there's some competitions over in Europe. Is it Europe, right? Or is it Australia?
It's really popular in Australia.
So they do these competitions. They have two guys. They're in a lightweight Jeep or off-roader. And basically, they go get... The whole idea is to get from point A to point B as fast as you can. But there's these huge obstacles. Might be mud. Might be a hill.
Yeah. And like then they have kind of designated winching areas where you have to winch. Like you almost deliberately get stuck and you have to winch.
So these guys, the co-pilot, will basically jump out... grab the line, take off running with the line, and they actually have, you were telling me about last night, air-powered winches to help shoot the line out with the guy running with it.
No, it just helps it free spool better.
Free spool, yeah.
So it free spools on a cushion of air. So when you're running with that line in your hand, there's like no drag at all.
Yeah, so the guy, and it'll pull in, 10 miles an hour? How fast do they pull in?
I don't know.
I watched a couple of things on YouTube. I'm like, that guy's flying.
I think the factory 8274 with the upgrades and things like that, it's supposed to be something like 80 feet a minute or something, which is really fast. But you go to these the red winches or these giggle pin winches. It's basically,
I just like saying giggle pin.
Yeah, that's kind hilarious. Of a cool name. It's basically built on the 8274 kind of architecture, so it's mm-hmm. the same modularized design. The differences, or one of the big differences that they offer, I mean, besides some additional bling that they have, and billet parts and stuff like that, but the top housing that carries the motor, they make a different one that will carry two motors. So you can put, instead of 1 6 horsepower motor on, you can put 2 6 horsepower motors on it.
That's 12 horsepower.
So yeah, now you're winching with 12 horsepower, which then also enables you to re-gear it. You asked about that at the beginning. Then you can really re-gear it because you've got the horsepower to spin the gears. So now these things really spool in fast and can take the load. And they run Albright contactors like I've put on.
And these things start at like $2,500.
Yeah, they're thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah. So you can get real crazy. So what you've done with, a few hundred bucks and a good bit of your time and some fun out in the garage, is you built a winch that has some great value. Hopefully it'll run for years. And I can't wait to see this thing run out in the wild. And can't wait to see you get high centered on a log on a flat road again. But see that happen.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to trying it out and actually seeing, I hear all this fastest winch speed or line speed, fastest line speed. It's like, all right, let's prove it.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
So this isn't the first one you look for. You found another one you were dealing on, weren't you, too? Did you find
that? They pop up from time to time on the internet, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're out there and you're an ingenuitive type of guy yourself, whoever's listening, and or gal, and you want to do this, just keep an eye on the Craigslist and the Facebook Marketplace. You might find this. And this, how long have you been working on it? A better part of a month in odds and ends?
Yeah, I mean, I've been picking away at it because you just kind of, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then waiting on parts, order things as you go. But no, they're really good winches. And there's nothing wrong with the factory design. So even if you find one that's old, but it works, I mean, you can just clean it up and mount it. Like, you don't have to do all the upgrades I did. It's a really great winch, even with the 70s technology on it. I wanted to do the motor, and I wanted to do the contactor was kind of the key thing. And then the rest of it's aesthetics, right? I just wanted to paint it up nice and put it in a nice winch plate. Fairlead.
So are you going to put the Warren sticker on there, or are you going to pony up the extra $30 and do the Jeep sticker?
Yeah, I ordered the Warn sticker, and then I thought, man, I really should order the factory replacement Jeep decal. You can get them on eBay. There's a guy on eBay that's selling them, and they're exact factory match. So I'm probably going to have to put the Jeep sticker on there.
You went this far. You get the new school stuff, the old school.
Yeah, and you just kind of give it credit. It's just cool to know.
Is it factory option?
That it's on top of just being a cool old worn winch, that this was actually a factory option on a CJ or something.
Wagoneer,
some Jeep. Yeah, maybe a Wagoneer at one point. And I kind of don't want to lose that history of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
Awesome. Well, your old winch went to a good place. My brother Mike is...
yep, we'll get him stuck.
He likes to get himself stuck.
Good.
And get himself out. A little update. One of the few episodes ago, I had Dustin in, and after the podcast, we sat back and talked a bit about my brother's Jeep and problems he was having with the heater. And I said, yeah, this is, heater's not working, the fan's not working at all. I kind of mentioned that to him. He goes, oh, yeah, I get a bad heat resistor. And this was after we shut all the recording off. I probably should have just kept the recording going because I was like, holy cow, the stuff we talked about after was so interesting to me.
Nice.
And I texted my brother right away. He went, you need a new heater resistor and all this stuff. And then he got back to me the next day and asked me some more questions. And my brother Mike did. And finally I just said, well, here's the part that's new and what it is. And I was actually looking at an 03 and newer version. And then I started, well, I better put the year in to make sure. And I said, what's an 0? And it looked pretty easy the way to get into to get to the part that you needed to with the 03, the original video I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked at the 01, which is the year he actually has, and it was easier yet. I mean, like, well, go to your garage and just pull it out and see what it looks like. He pulled it out, and if you can imagine, I'll probably post the pictures of this thing too, But the original part looks nice, has, you know, nice shiny metal. He pulled out with just a bunch of rust, basically. He's like, I think this might be the problem. And I go get the new part. And this is New Year's Eve. He's texting me all this stuff. And I go get the new part. You got to get the new part. He goes, I found it at such and such store. I forget which store he actually found it at.
Right.
And like 20 minutes later, he texts me back. And he goes, this people have it. And then like 5 minutes later, I get a video from him. It was like one of those videos you watch on YouTube where the guy thinks he has it right, but he doesn't. He goes, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what should happen. And it was just him getting more and more excited as he turned it up. And it got faster and faster. He was pretty excited that we figured it out through Dustin's help. That, and I texted Dustin already and I said, hey, this is for my brother. Pretty hyped that he got the heater working. But for a better part of a month, my brother's dash was all tore apart. And he's driving us around with a torn apart dash. That's everything, funny. Wires hanging all over because he's like, I got it half apart. I'm going to leave it half apart.
Right.
You know, so I figured out what the problem was. But just through this podcast and talking to somebody, we figured out what the problem was. And it was obviously rust doesn't get too far. You know?
Yeah, I saw that. That thing looked like it was mounted underneath the axle or something. It was so rusty.
It drug through the salt
pile. Oh, it was gnarly.
But he's working again, so we're pretty hyped about that. So that's the update there. Another update, Chad, actually, I think one of his episodes, he was episode 2, he actually tore his LJ motor apart. It's been sitting there for a while.
The white one?
Yeah. And next time I talk to him, I'm going to figure out where it's at. But, you know, we got him motivated. He texted me a couple days later. He goes, yep, motivated now. And he tore it apart and got into it. So I don't know how far deep he is in. I think I can't remember something he had to change out in that motor, but he had it all blown apart.
Yeah,
so it was pretty fun.
I'm also excited when we get out get winching is to try out the in dash control setup.
Oh yeah, forgot to talk about that part. So Wade did he doesn't have it 100% done yet. We're jumping the gun here a little bit, but he's gonna put the plug for the winch. It's not a wireless at all.
You can, right? Warn makes a wireless adapter kit that you can make any of their winches wireless, but. I relocated the plug, so almost every winch has a plug, right? Right on the top of the winch. I relocated that plug into the cab, so I just have I can operate my winch from inside the cab. So you don't have to get out and connect the plug and all that stuff. I mean, even with a wireless, you still got to flip the wireless switch on the winch. So now we don't have to do that. You just pull the line, hook it up, and I can have my control right there. Right next to my steering wheel. Yep.
So you have a plug in the inside, but it'll still be wired, but he'll be sitting right there. So you have the wire hanging outside. So he's got going to the in cab. He'll have a wire, but
so he'll have a flush in cab control.
In cab control. In cab control. Awesome. I'm excited to see this in the wild. So
yeah.
Thanks again for hanging, Wade. And
my pleasure.
And thanks again, folks, for listening. Hey, thanks for listening. Next week, I'll be talking to somebody new about off-roading and the off-roading lifestyle. Hope you guys will join us. Thanks.